Welcome to the 30 to Life podcast. It's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world,
brown. And your guy who knows it's cheaper to keep it, Coolie.
It's the 30 to Life podcast, redefining the Black experience. We're back. Last couple episodes have been from our live episodes, so we miss you guys. Most people can't wait to say, I do. Most people can't wait to get married, but this episode, we got something interesting. I want to check in with your favorite color and your regular neighborhood guy, Cooley. What's going on, y'all? What's up? How y'all living? What's going on? What y'all been up to? Brown, how's new dad life, right?
I is tired. I is restless. And I just wants to sleep. Nah, it's cool. It's cool. It's just, you know, children are a handful. However, you just got to plow through it. Show still got to be done. Still got to work. Still got to look for a house. Still.
I hear that.
Yeah, how y'all guys doing? How's everybody today?
I still rise.
It's baseball season here where I live. So my kid's back in baseball. So baseball is tiring. Social distancing thing. Man, listen.
How you social distancing and play baseball? Like, what if you hit the ball and you got to run the first base and, you know, you got the first baseman right there?
Let me tell you, it's not working. But experience, this is first year with the social whatever they're trying to do. So this COVID thing's made things a little bit different.
I just feel like these people have to say socially distance indoors, even though we really don't socially distance indoors. I just think it's a buzzword because, you know, we have to at least say it to let everybody know we're attempting to do it, even though it's not possibly being done. But anyway, I digress.
It's just one of those things. Just say that, like, how you doing? So now we're saying social distance. Like, you really don't. I'll put your mask on. You really don't. And that's a whole new topic. Something that we probably can go in another show with because this COVID precautions are, bogus. But like you said, I digress. Go ahead. How about you, Mook?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I am socially distancing from mad people because I'm still working from home. So is my wife. So, you know, we in the bunker. You know, we go outside, though. We go outside. We go on walks. You know, we mini travel and stuff. Yeah, things are good. I'm just watching my daughter, you know. Daddy daycare.
Are you still going to the grocery store, wiping everything down, and leaving the food out for about 2 days?
I kid you not. Right before we started recording, guess where I came from? The grocery store. And you know what's crazy? I haven't gone to the grocery store in like 6 weeks. So, you know, I had to re-up. You know, I had to go through my process again. We're not going to go into it again. But, you know, let's just say none of the food that I purchased has COVID because I made sure each container got tested before they entered this house. So it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. No, I take the precautions, but I dialed down a little bit. I didn't wear gloves. And, you know, I
think we should just stop wearing masks. I think they're stupid.
You sound like a Trump supporter right now. Y'all both sound like Trump supporters.
Let's just think logically here, though. You know, I have no political affiliation.
Yes, we know. You're not Democratic. You're Republican. And you would vote for Trump if he wasn't racist. If he wasn't racist, you would vote for Trump.
I'm whoever gives the Black people the best agenda.
So right now, who gives the best agenda?
Right now?
Joe Biden or Trump?
There's not really much of an option.
Okay, so Biden. Got it.
But anyway, can we talk about the show and how people should just pick the right person before they get divorced? Because
You said crazy word. You said the D word.
Yeah, divorce. I'm just thinking of Dre, Dr. Dre.
The doctor D-word. Is about to have to go through surgery with his money because
$2 million a month.
$2 million a month.
She could have said $200,000 a month.
He's a billionaire.
Nah, she got email. She got to pay for her email. It's $20,000 a month. Like, what are you talking about? AOL, Google. She got a million emails. So, you know, she's trying to get her money. $20,000 a month.
Now, granted, Dr. Dre is probably worth 800, 900 billion. He's up there. He's up there. So
million. You said not billion.
Yes. Million. Sorry. Well, close to a billion. That's close.
Okay, close to a billion.
Close to, if you estimate.
Okay. All right, say no more. How do you feel about that? Like put yourself in Dr. Dre's shoes.
Yeah.
You're worth $700 million.
Okay.
your wife of how long? 20 years? 20 something years?
20 odd years.
20 mm-hmm. years. It's just, you know, y'all either arguing and not getting along, or you're just getting older and you're just like, I want to do something new or be a new person. And they file for divorce. And you see $2 million a month until she's like, let's just say for the rest of her life, $2 million a month. And, you know, women live longer. So let's say that's 50 years of $2 million per month.
Well, it says here that Dr. Dre is worth $820 million. So in essence, considering that he is worth $820 million and she's going to get, what, $24 million? A year? I don't think he's going to, you know, miss out on any sleep, rather. I just feel like, you know, he's going to be, it's like a little pinch, but it's a pinch that doesn't really matter because he still has an extreme amount of wealth coming in. So, you know, $2 million to us and $2 million to him is totally different.
But isn't the $2 million? Oh, the $2 million is only for temporary spousal support. So this is not even the real number. She just needs this while they figure out the divorce settlement. So this could be for, you know, let's say anywhere from a year to, you know, 5 years, you know, trying to figure this out. So she probably wants more money.
Yeah, I personally think, I don't think it's the money. I definitely think it's the things that, if you saw the list, that list just make you go, bro, really, bro? This is what you asking for?
Well, no. What was the craziest thing? What was the craziest thing?
The emails. $20,000 a month for email, cell phones, and telephones. Like, who are you calling? Who are you calling?
I didn't. Last time I checked, emails was for free.
Well, it does have cell phone on there. You know, sometimes, you know, if you call long distance, you know, they charge you a lot. So, you know, I feel her.
What's she calling, Mars?
No, the craziest one to me was she wanted $125,000 a month for charitable donations, right? So basically, she wants him to give her $125,000 and she's going to give it to someone else. A month, $125,000 a month.
What about the $10,000 for laundry and cleaning? Like, how dirty are your clothes that you're paying $10,000 a month for cleaning?
That one, actually, I thought was really reasonable because I know when I get, like, my suit clean, that'd be, like, you know, $15, you know, per suit. So, you know, if you times that.
But wait, here's the kicker. She's asking for $135,000 for new clothes a month. So if you're getting $135,000 a month for clothes, why do you even need to clean them?
Wait, but why are they divorcing in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
I think they just went to the cliche statement. What is the cliche statement?
Unreconcilable differences.
Yep.
But I think it's a lot of stuff that's going on with Dre. I think I heard allegations allegedly that he was sort of abusive to her as well.
Well, see, that changes the whole thing, though. So if he was physically abusive, then that means that he need to pay more than half.
Okay, so we have stipulations for divorce. Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Yes, and that's why I was saying, but in, like, you know, talking about this, you know, during our pre-show, I feel like, you know, each situation is can be unique. So, you know, $2 million might not make sound like a lot to us, but we don't know what the hell she went through. So if she was getting beat, then that just changes my whole outlook on the situation.
Mm. So hypothetically,
would you guys get beat for $24 million for $24 million a year?
See, it depends on if they was married for 20 years. It depends. I mean, after about 5 years, I don't know if I can get beat anymore. You know, you
guys,
you know, Chihuahua hard enough. You know that Chihuahua gonna fight back one day. You know, so I mean, you know,
first of all, I want to give my hearts out to any person, right? Man or woman that is going through any domestic violence right now, you know, just my heart's out to him, and no one deserves to get that. Go do that. But yeah, infidelity. I think, you know, you do infidelity, you're abusive physically.
Can I say something though?
Yeah, say it.
I'm sorry.
Do you think?
Can I say my heart goes out to all the men who have had women lie on them for saying that they got hit by their significant other when in fact it was a lie. So, you know, I feel like the system does favor women even though they do lie. So, you know, this world is really effed up. But anyway,
before we finish that note, because you opened Pandora's box. But how do you... Okay, so I'm going to ask a question. So yes. Now in this climate today, one of the big statements of today is believe all women.
Really?
That is the slogan.
And well, women lie too. So that's dumb. That is theoretically.
Well, apparently if you are woman, you are immune to, you know, that quality lying? That humans possess. I guess so. I don't know. And this is not, hold on, I'm not being insensitive, but I'm just saying from a human basis, humans are all capable of lying. And just because you have, you know, XX chromosomes is not, well, hold up, because gender, they say, you know, am I going in the wrong territory when I'm saying what a woman is?
Gender doesn't exist, Mookie.
Okay. Hold on.
Doesn't exist, Mookie, all right.
Oh, man.
Why we have male and female? I don't even understand why we do this anymore, okay?
What world are you in?
This is I need you to get into 2020, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, so... Wait. Y'all confusing me.
What do you classify as?
I don't know.
I'm a human.
What are your pronouns?
No. Mister.
What are your pronouns?
Wait, hold on. I'm not even being insensitive, but I get confused, right? Because I'm trying to, you know, keep up with the times, right? And not be offensive.
It's changing everything.
Like, try not to be offensive. But I'm just, for argument's sake, for traditional gender... I don't even want to go into this conversation.
I need you to understand one thing.
Go ahead and get canceled.
Anyway, let's go back on topic. We don't even address this no more. for now, I'm just saying all genders matter. And let's continue.
Cancel culture is real.
Yes. Speaking of, we're having a cancel culture live show on September 20th on Get Vocal. But back to the topic, guys. So, divorce. We talked a little about divorce with Dr. Dre and his wife. I believe her name is Nicole Young. And, you know, they're going through the heated divorce, but they've been together from the beginning, right? Before he, you know, started to make millions. Am I correct?
Oh, well, not make millions, because he was, remember, Dr. Dre's been out since the 90s. They've been married since maybe about 2000-ish. I think they were married for about 20-odd years, so
late 90s. Yeah, so before he started making a lot of millions, because remember, he used to sign those contracts. His first couple contracts were the best, but he was famous in some ways. So, but, you know, $800 million compared to, you know, 90s, he's not making anywhere. He wasn't making anywhere near that. So I do agree, this is my personal opinion, if you start from the bottom with someone you married, they should be entitled to half. That's what I feel. So, you know, and then it gets tricky when there's infidelity and crime in terms of, you know, trying to kill someone and all the stuff like that. But to removing all that, if you just, y'all not jiving no more, think you're entitled to half.
Listen, if she wasn't with me shooting in the gym, then she don't deserve nada unless he beat you.
Unless he beat you or cheated on you. What about cheating on you? You
know? Yeah,
if he cheated on you, then it depends on who. No. If he cheated on you, then he deserved it. He deserved it.
No, just it's all
situation. Now, if she cheated on him, like Hulk Hogan.
Well, I think they both cheated on each other.
You're not
what happens with that? What happens when they both cheated?
Then it canceled each other's out. Cancel each other out.
So she shouldn't get anything that.
If it canceled each other out.
Or who did it first?
No. No, it's all situational. It's awesome. If she cheats on me and I'm worth 800 mil, why does she deserve anything? She messed up the relationship. She messed up. She put herself in jeopardy for losing everything. Why does she deserve the same life that she had when we were together and she decided to go outside our marriage?
It depends on who keeps the kids. Because if she gets the kids, then she obviously needs to get some type of money to take care of the kids.
Well, no.
Help take care of the kids.
Well, she'll get child support. In addition to that, she'll get alimony.
Well, then that's cheating. Because why she gotta get both?
But that's how it works when you have the kids.
Well, see, like, then why? Mama is just like the song stay together. Says, it's cheaper to keep her. So let's just
or end, just to be just to be fair and inclusive. It's cheaper to keep him. Shout out to our successful black woman or woman in general.
Speaking of that, as a man, could you ask
that? And didn't it happen to Mary J. Blige too? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cooley was about, wait, I was on the same page.
Yeah.
I was on the same sentence.
As a man, can you Can you ask for half or ask for alimony and
ask for that stuff? I'm asking for half. What?
Oh yeah, yeah. If I stayed home and I'm cleaning, I'm taking care of the kids, you out there, you know, closing business.
Even if I didn't do none of that. I could have just been your listening ear. I was your in-house therapist. Give it up. Give it up.
Y'all think that's why Oprah haven't married Stegma yet?
Oh yeah, women with money are smart. They're not just randomly marrying someone because they had a good night. Women with money take their time. They'll wait. A guy be stupid, especially some sports athletes be like, you know, let me just marry this girl with no prenup. But women, look at all the women who have money.
Like, if I'm Stegman though, I'm chilling though. Like I wouldn't mind. I'm with a rich ass woman. I'm
just she can just drop bag. You like nothing.
That's fine because you know what? I'm a smart dude. I would have said, "Hey, Oprah, let me get a $1 million loan. Let me open up my own business next year. Oprah, let me get a couple $100,000 to open up my own business." And then I had a couple of businesses going on right now. And then if she would have, I would have been good if she would have said, "Hey, I'm done, Stedman." But I'd have been chilling.
That's very true.
You stacked a couple mil, a good safety net while being with her that long.
Hell yeah. You don't think he asked for a couple of dollars every now and
then? Oh yeah, she got him on the payroll. He on the payroll.
That's what I'm saying.
You're the special advisor.
All I gotta do is just be me and love you and just not have the title of your husband.
My job is loving you, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm the CEO of your heart.
Oh my God. Anyway, back to so divorce, right? You know, we're not gonna go too long in divorce because none of us believe in divorce. Unless do you guys believe in divorce?
Only if there's physical or verbal abuse that is
verbal abuse?
Yeah, verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is just as bad as physical abuse in my book.
No, I'm just clarifying. I'm just asking clarification.
I think verbal abuse can be even worse than men.
Do you think men divorce women over verbal abuse?
Yeah, I would. Women could be verbally abusive.
I mean, I know they are, but I'm just saying, like, has a man say she has verbally abused me as a rationale for a divorce?
Yo, we should do it. We should do a show on that.
Yeah, that's actually smart. But just to answer that question,
because men don't talk up about being verbally abused enough by their spouses. Not that I have personal experience with that, but I just feel like that's something that I've heard.
I think even physical abuse. I think we know women are quicker to hit. Well, let me take this back. Let me not even make a statement. But women hit as well. Just like you said, women lies, well, women hit as well. Yeah, like, we're all human, so we all do. I mean, I think the onus is on men to have more restraint, rightfully correct. So, because we are biologically stronger. Please don't come at me. I'm just reading science. And I think...
Don't you understand that women could do what men could do?
Wait, are you being condescending right now? What are we doing right now?
What? Condescending? No, I'm not sending nothing anywhere, Con.
No.
I'm just saying that.
What? But no.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse because men have egos. If you're going to call a man, you ain't this all the time. You ain't shit. Your winkaboo is little. That's going to hurt. You're going to get divorced. But anywho, I think we should go back to that topic. The topic is whether it's okay for a man to ask for half.
Well, so, yeah, we all agree that it's okay. Obviously, society will either say he's smart or they make fun of him and say, you know, other women may say, he ain't a man. He ain't supposed to be having a woman pay his alimony.
I don't care. She can say whatever she would.
If you're a feminist, you want equal rights, right? Even the bad stuff. So, shout out to you guys.
Amen, brother.
But let's transition. You know, we're talking about divorce. Some notable divorces like Michael Jordan from his former wife. I think it was $168 million settlement. That was one of the most notable like sports divorces. Obviously, Jeff Bezos and his ex-wife was the largest divorce of all time. And he's still the richest person.
She became the richest woman on earth. Just by getting divorced with that guy. So, and guess what? He's not bothered, but still, it's just that number is crazy. I think she got, over $35 billion?
Yeah, yeah. And he's still, his net worth is still rising.
I think she gets, 25% of the company or something like that still, so, or even more. So, that was a good divorce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of divorces. And, you know, it just makes you think about, like, what are some of the steps
to make sure you're marrying the right person, right? Someone who you want to marry forever, till death do you part, beyond your last breath, eternal love, you know, that Notebook type of love. Anybody who saw The Notebook? That's the name of the movie, right? When they die.
Yo, but I don't believe in that together. Kind of love, though.
Okay, elaborate. Well, why are you doing this topic then, brother, if you don't believe
it? I don't believe in The Notebook kind of love.
What do you mean? What was it? Well, elaborate.
They couldn't live each other I know that happens, but not like not within 30 seconds of each other. sometimes it takes like a couple of years, you know.
Well,
a couple of months. They literally died at the same time.
I guess I might be wrong for saying this, but I'm a grown ass man. I ain't seen no Notebook, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You ain't seen no Notebook? No, you got it.
I seen it like three times.
Go see The Notebook with your boo, yo. I guarantee y'all gonna fall in love even more. It's a good movie.
It's a dope movie. It's not even, it only gets cliche at the end. But
see that part.
But it's the journey up to that point, which is very interesting. So, but it also makes me think about, we'll stick with The Notebook. But anyway, not dying at the same time, but basically you're together until one of you die. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about steps to finding, you know, making sure you're marrying the right person. So guys, what are some things that you think of? I have a long list, but you know, I'll let you guys start. You want me to go first?
That would be more beneficial for the listeners.
I think one of the things you should do, and I think it's very important to do, is marital counseling, premarital counseling.
I like that one.
That's a huge one. Huge one. They say, I think I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you know, if you do premarital counseling, which it's fun, right? Especially if you're already on the same page, like you're already same page and stuff, it's just fun. You just learn some extra things. You talk about some extra things. You make sure you're on the same page about a couple of things. And if you're not, you figure it out, like at the end of the day. So I enjoyed it. It was fun for me. And sometimes if people do premarital counseling, you know, the counselor or the priest will be like, I don't think I should get married, right? Like if it's not going smoothly, right? During this process. But what else? Some things. I think, you know, started small. I think one of the main reasons people get a divorce is over money. So it's important to, you know, have conversations about one, your debt, if you have any, and two, your views on money, right? It's important that you're on the same page with that, because you're going to make a lot of decisions, from having a child to buying a home to buying a car. I mean, ownership, you know, starting business, who knows? You're going to make a lot of decisions, and, you know, understanding everyone's money situation and how they feel about money is very important, because I heard some stories in terms of, you know, people hid all their student loans and all their debt. And the guy, it was a guy, he had no debt. And then the woman married him and she didn't tell him she had like $70,000 in debt and her credit was all messed up. And he was like, he was pissed, right? And everyone, when the story came out, everyone in the comments was like, no, like he should love her regardless. You know, this is all the woman talking about this. And then the guy's like, nah, this is messed up. Like now he got to worry about all his debt. She should have been honest from the get-go. So yeah, talk about money. Talk about your finances. Do your due diligence on each other's finances, because, you know, that can make or break, you know, the longevity of a marriage. What about you? What else do I think, guys?
Yeah, you're absolutely 100% right. And like Brown said in one of our earlier episodes, a marriage is technically a business agreement as well. Because like you said, Mookie, if she had $70,000 in debt before they got married, they could have talked about that. He could have been helping her out. But now once you become married, you guys become one. So now that's his $70,000 debt that he didn't know of. And that's pretty much not fair. It's not right.
Yeah. And what about anything else? What other things you think?
I think sex is important. Sex, you have to know, because sex is important.
What if you're a virgin? What if you're a virgin?
You shouldn't be.
You should. I mean, it might not make you. Well, the correction, if both of you guys are virgins, it's a different story.
Okay, let's be realistically, how many people are virgins before they get married now?
They say 4% of Americans. There's 300 Americans. That's 12 million Americans that are virgins. So it is highly possible, Brown. Thank you.
Okay, so among those 12 million people, how many of them probably look like they have sex or could have sex?
I mean, it's 12 million people. Like, what are you talking about?
How do you look like you have sex?
Yeah. You know, you see some people that just look like they never did nothing because they just who would do it to him.
Like, who wouldn't hit that?
Nah. Yeah, you know, they got to be at least 11 million of those people out there.
And that brings me to another point, though. I definitely think you should live with someone before you actually marry them.
I think you should, too. You should have sex with them before you get married. You should live with them before you get married. You should go on vacation with them before you get married.
You should know how their side of the family is before you get married.
Hold on. Let's talk about that one. That's a good one. Everything else I said.
You don't think you should live with someone before you get
married? I swear.
I'm not a conservative. I live with my wife for like a year before we got married. So,
yeah, I personally don't think anybody should just get married right off the top if they haven't lived with each other, because living with somebody is a very big thing.
The church don't want to hear that, right? The church don't want to hear that. Yeah. What you said?
That's why you should leave the church.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyway, back to the main topic at hand. Okay, so live together. You said I think that's a good one.
You should have sex.
That's another good one.
Before, because if the sex is horrible, how did you like? I mean, that is a high probability that you could get married to somebody and have horrible sex. So you would know that before you get married. So just in case you had to either smash and dash or just say, hey, listen, it's just not working out, you know.
Well, but, go ahead. No, I was thinking the episode that we did called What Black Women Want. I forget the episode title, but if you haven't listened to it, check it out. And that was a plug, guys. But I think they talked about it. There was like this couple, they waited till they were married. I think they were together for a couple years and they got married. And then the girl was like, it was the worst, you know, experience she ever had. And then she divorced him. You don't think that's crazy?
I think that's crazy. And I think that she made a dumb decision by waiting until she got married.
I mean, if she took the necessary steps to try to make it better.
And, no, she didn't. They did. Well, maybe they did, but they didn't do it long enough because I think they got divorced like 8 months after. I don't know the full story. I mean, the secondhand story, but I guess there's some, I have some agreements with that. But you made a profound point, Cooley, when you said knowing like their family and their family history, you know, because when you get married, like you marry a village, right? In terms of both families, you know.
You marry her family as well. Yes.
Yep. So that's important, right? Because, you know, early on when you start dating, you introduce, you know, your girl to moms, you know, moms, make sure moms like her, make sure dad like her and everything like that. But when does, you know, you get to meet the cousins and the aunts, uncles and the cousins, the half cousins who, you know, you kind of cool with, but you ain't talked to them in a long time. And, you know, the whole family dynamics, right?
Cousin Pooh, who's a straight criminal who'll steal everything. Next thing you invite him to your house, your whole TV gone.
Be like, where my watch at? But
again, I feel like you would have to have deal breakers, right? Because people can't control their families and that shouldn't be like an ultimate. Like, I guess there could be certain things that are ultimatums, but at the same time, you know, I think you should really consider the entire individual because you just can't control who your parents are. However, if you have, I guess, a wholeheartedly group of set of values out there that you can kind of, you know, those are the things that should be judged, in my opinion.
Well, with that being said, if her parents are in your relationship all the time, let's say if you guys are having an argument, next thing you know, her mother's calling you like, oh, this is what you guys should do every single time. You're not going to want to put up that with all your life. No matter how much you love a person, her parents can't be in your relationship. So that's what I mean by the steps. You got to know her family as well.
Yeah, okay. That's why
she doesn't want to. Yeah, but and what if she's a great person, but what if she just don't want to do that thing? Tell her mother's like, stay out of our business. Because in some relationships, that's like that. Some people are really close to their parents and they would be
exactly. It's situational. It's all situational.
Yeah. And a lot of people are close to their family. So I do think it's just like boundaries. And that's something that before you get married, you know, you have to have those conversations. Right. And, you know, it could be, you know, counseling, premarital counseling. It could be you guys just talking it together and writing a list of things that, you know, you never really talked about before, right? Because you definitely should talk about money. Definitely should talk about family dynamics. You should talk about faith, right? Faith is important. I think
Unless you're atheist.
Well, no, you should talk. I mean, what do you believe, right? Atheists believe nothing?
They don't believe in God.
Yep. Yeah. They don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why I said unless you're atheist.
Yeah. So then you know that. You have the conversations about it, right? and, you know, different religions, you know, people can get married all the time that are different religions and stuff, but you got to have those conversations. Like when you have a child, what are you going to raise the child is, right? Because you don't think about it now, like, oh, they believe this, they believe this, we get married. But if you're planning on having kids, the decision on what you're going to raise them, how you're going to raise them in the household is a very important conversation.
Exactly. That's true. But with all that being said, do you guys believe in a prenup? If you do, you follow all those steps, did all the counseling, do you guys believe in signing a prenup?
Yes, I do. If you are an 80-year-old man and you marry a 20-year-old woman, I feel like it should be by law that that 80-year-old man signs a prenup. Because the power of the P-U-S-S-Y.
But then again,
to an 80-year-old horny man.
Like, I agree with you.
On Viagra.
However, I do think you should be punished for being stupid sometimes. So
No. Can you blame the 80-year-old?
What are you talking about?
Come on now. You 80 years old.
All these laws they putting out right now for elder abuse.
You see how the women are looking at what they.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know. I'm sure.
Or vice versa, if it's an 80-year-old woman, you know, and a 20-year-old guy.
Yeah, I think there should be a mandatory prenup.
Yeah.
Agree, because that's elderly abuse. That's right.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that way.
Some right, you're right, but I think you still got to play a part of stupidity plays. So just in that case, that's where you think you should sign a prenup. What other case do you think a prenup?
That's it. I don't believe in it anyway, because I feel like marriage is so serious. So you have to go into it knowing that, all right, this is the risk.
So let me ask you this question. Let me go a little bit deeper.
But wait, as a person who believes in a marriage is a business, don't you want to protect your business as well?
So if I want to protect my business, but I also don't want to go into it knowing that in the back of my head, well, if anything happens, I'm going to prenup. Because for me, I know I'm not going to work as hard in it. If that's the case.
All right, let me go a little bit deeper.
Okay. I want to just ask about insurance.
No.
Like, isn't that prenup is just insurance? It's not like I'm saying it's going to happen. I'm just planning just in case it happens.
I get you, but I just feel like for me, even though marriage is also a business, I feel like there is some type of, you should have at least like love in there as well. And I feel like when you go into a marriage and you're going into it signing a prenup, you're kind of saying to yourself, well, I love you, but I don't trust you. And then this is the narrative in my head. And so if you don't trust me, and I don't trust you, then why are we getting married? And then I trust you with my life, you know?
Let me go a little bit deeper. So Brown, right now, let's say you're worth $2 billion.
Yes.
And let's say you get married and the person has pretty much nothing. Maybe let's just say it's $10,000 in the savings.
I wouldn't marry them then.
Well, let's say you.
I wouldn't though, that's just me. So I understand what your point is, but I wouldn't marry somebody.
Well, let's say you love this person.
I wouldn't,
and you have a child. Just listen.
I wouldn't have done it.
This is the exercise. Is just say yes right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll just say yes.
All right. You say yes. You getting it? You about to marry this person? You're not going to put a prenup in front of their face?
No.
Okay. All right. So you're saying even if you, okay. All right. Then you stick it to your gun. Say no more. So
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe, what?
What he just said. If you have $2 billion, it's an insurance policy. You don't need it until you need it. So no, but I believe
marriage is, that is your other half. Like that's your other.
What if you guys decide to like unreconcilable differences? Like you just, okay, let's just, we can't do it anymore. People fall out of love. But it doesn't happen necessarily
for me.
But what if you? But it can, a prenup could also mean you still want to take care of her, even if you guys get divorced.
For me, I have to be able to be married to you. I have to be able to trust you in my life. If we go into it signing a prenup, that means I don't trust you with my life. So
I don't necessarily think that.
That's how I see it in my head, though.
Well, for me currently, like with my views, I don't believe in the prenup. Especially, you know, you meet each other, you don't have any assets, and you build together. I don't think a prenup is ever necessary. I believe as a man, you know, you marry someone, you should, you know, provide and protect for whoever you marry, right? You divorce, you know, whatever the child support they believe they need, you know, they get that, right? But, you know, when there's scenarios where there's like just huge differences in terms of like assets, and you're marrying later in life, so let's just say 50 and beyond, I can understand, you know, people having a prenup at that stage of the game. And you got to look at it like this. When you marry someone, let's say later on, and you both have kids, one thing that's important to make sure that, you know, as far as your legacy, that the money continues down your family tree. If you marry someone later in life and let's say you pass away, then in theory, that money would go to that other family tree. So a lot of times with second marriages, they have prenups in place to make sure that the money goes down that person's legacy as opposed to the other person's legacy. So that's where I think it makes sense. But for someone, you know, you marrying early, you know, your 20s, 30s, and, you know, you say you love this person for the rest of your life, I don't believe it.
Signing a prenup is not a bad thing. Yeah. It's insurance. You can have clauses in there where you say, if I do something, I'm still going to take care of you. Or if we just happen to fall out of love, I'm going to take care of you. So no matter what, I'm going to take care of you. You're just not going to get this amount of money. A prenup does not mean that you're not going to get taken care of. It's just an insurance policy. This helps you just in case something happens. Like, this is what's going to happen. It's a plan for the future. So I think it's worth signing. It just depends on the clauses of that prenup.
I think if you love the person and it's a $24 million, $10 million case, person has some assets, we love each other, I'm probably not signing no prenup.
I think it's just about the clauses in the prenup. So,
I mean, when you say clauses, like you both have money. So what's the clauses going to be in there to make it?
If I'm making more, I'm still going to have to take care of you. Not take care of you as a sense of like paying for everything. I'm still going to make sure you're straight, depending on what happens. It's just that insurance policy. Everybody has insurance. We pay insurance every day on everything else. Why not have insurance on your marriage?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be insurance on your marriage would be, you know, if someone dies or something like that. I mean, this is really you trying to just protect your finances, but you're not really protecting your heart. So I don't know. And someone's making, you know, $40,000 a year.
Y'all shouldn't even be dating.
Oh my God. You're crazy.
That is not crazy. How is that? You are on two different financial levels. Social, economic status.
You could,
but why even you? Why?
But a dollar amount doesn't tie you to someone.
It doesn't. However,
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
I just feel like if you are a man.
Oh my God. Okay, you're a man.
I'm sorry, but if you're a man and you're going out there and you're looking for a wife, I feel like that to me is insurance. My insurance is making sure that she makes a decent amount of money.
What is a decent amount of money? Because give an example of $250.
Close to what you make, at least.
What if you're a teacher and you went to...
Close to what you make.
What's close?
It has to be close to what you make.
So give me... You make it $250. What's close?
If you're a multimillionaire, then I feel like my wife should at least be a millionaire.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about income. You're making $250. What's close?
If I'm making $250, my wife should at least be making $125.
That's how you view it? That's how you view stuff?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In that case, you're doing the same thing. Your insurance is just making sure she makes as much as you.
No, it's not what you make. It's what you keep first, because there are people who are making, you know, $1 million and
okay,
have
so what if they
both
keep a lot of money? But okay, so let me ask you this, Brian. What if you making $2 million, she's making $1 million?
That's fine.
When y'all do get... Wait, listen. But once y'all do get married, she stops working. Like, as soon as you get married, she just stops working. And she's basically living off you. And that money's... Her money is like dwindling down. Then she cheats on you. But guess what? Now she gets now she deserves to get half now.
Oh, she gets alimony. So she gets
alimony. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Child support.
Nah, I think the cheating factor, you lost me on that one. So she shouldn't get nothing.
Well, no, but you didn't sign the prenup. You didn't sign the prenup.
Well,
okay. Let's say she doesn't cheat.
I just made a bad choice then.
Or what if you don't? She doesn't cheat on you. What if y'all just stop falling in love because you see her?
Then we can work a deal out. We just fell out of love. We could just work a deal out. Yeah.
So you think she deserves to get paid because y'all fell out of love?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the risk. It's weird because ever since I started learning like how to do stocks, I kind of been using my theories for stocks and my theories to life, and they kind of intertwine in a sense. And they've been intertwining as time has gone on. But I just feel like, you know, when you go into marriage, it's always a risk. You never truly know that other person's intentions because you're not in their head. However, you have to have some love in there. I think you have to have a lot of love in there. but it can't just solely be a business decision. However, on the flip side, I feel like it can't just solely be on love, because you can love somebody, but it could be an unhealthy relationship. And so that's why I said sometimes you have to take love back a little bit and also look at the business side too. So it's a beautiful dance, but it's a dance nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, that's why you sign a prenup, to help to prevent that stuff, just that middle stuff. It's just to help you out. And like you said, beginning of what you were saying, you said that you would try to work something out. But why can't you work something out in the beginning, for just in case? It's like, I'm not saying I don't love you.
That's a great argument. Do you have a prenup, Cooley? You all talk about all this prenup stuff. Do you have prenup? No.
I'm not rich. But if I was rich, guess what?
But let's just talk about average people, right? Back to my example, you're making $250, someone's making $40. You're making them sign a prenup? Are you making them sign a prenup?
Is a prenup for average people?
Yeah. People sign prenups.
No, you're not understanding. Anybody can sign a prenup, yes. But is it really for average people?
No, yes, for average people. Well, that's not average people. Making $250,000 is not average person.
I mean,
what do you mean? Like,
yes, I think that a prenup should be awarded. I mean, signing, I believe so. Yes, it's just insurance. We have insurance for every other thing else in life. Why can't we have insurance for our marriage?
I want to see it. Well, I mean, whatever. I don't believe you, Cooley.
Or you said, do I have one? No. Or would I? Yes.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing wrong with it. You guys looking at it as negative.
Nah, I'm not looking at it as negative.
No, I told you.
It's not for me.
I know. I told you. I get when people, especially second marriages and get married later on in life, makes total sense. Or when there's like large disparities between the wealth, like someone's worth $1 billion, someone has nothing. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's a situation when there's a large difference in income, or it's later in life. Right. Because at that point, when you get older, you care about the legacy and make sure your money goes to the next generation. So that makes sense. But like for like someone who's married, let's say someone's making, you know, $250,000, you know, you have no debt, you're starting to build your wealth and everything. I mean, like, I don't think you should sign it. I don't believe in it, period. But
why not?
And it's not.
But what if, see, it all depends. It's even the situation of why you guys break up or divorce. So that could play a part too.
Yeah, but going in, you're not thinking that's going to happen. Especially if you take the right steps before you get married.
Again, insurance. When you can step in your car, you don't think you're going to crash, but you still have car insurance.
The only reason I got car insurance is because it's mandated by law. But if it wasn't, I wouldn't have insurance. No.
Yes, but as soon as you don't have insurance, you have health insurance.
Yeah, and it's no longer mandated by law. So, you know, it's just included as a part of the benefits for my employer. It's not anymore.
But
should have never been.
What should insurance, period? Like any type of insurance be mandated by law?
If I'm healthy and I'm in my 20s, like I just pay a full price. Well, just give me my full check. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, because I wasted a lot of money on insurance in my 20s. Just don't go to the
doctor. He's out here risking it.
I was going to the doctor, but no, but what I'm saying is like, you go to the doctor, you check up, you do dental cleaning, but you could just pay that out of pocket and probably save a lot of money. Because young people are the ones that bring it down. Yeah, the bill may be like $400, but if you paying $400 per mouth.
That's just for two. You don't look at medical bills, do you?
I do, because I remember when I had a high deductible plan back in the day. And them things, you might as well have a plan. you go in there for a checkup. They're like, oh, $212. I was like, what I got insurance for? For them just to weigh you and tell you that you're healthy. Like, what?
If you would have signed the right insurance plan the same way you would sign the right prenup, you'd have been better off.
Man, forget that, man. Okay. Anyway, guys. Okay, so I guess we're pretty much done. I mean, what's the recap for the show for today? What do we want our listeners to learn? Because this is
don't marry a greedy woman. Amen.
Means marry someone within your socioeconomic bracket. and just love and love really hard, but don't love too hard because marriage is also a business and you got to make time for the business stuff, but you also got to love. You have had a lot of sex and don't have too many kids because kids make less time for you. And,
are you saying this personally right now?
No. I'm not saying anything.
Talk through our experiences, but go, bro.
Just tell them if there's a young 20-something-year-old guy who's in love with their girl and wants to settle down and have a kid at like 23, 24. I'm sorry, Cooley. Don't do it. Just wait. Sorry.
Yes. I definitely agree. Take your time to have a child. They will always be there. Especially if you can pop them out like bunny rabbits. But what I just want to recap is, one, talk about debt. You hear me? Don't be get married not knowing how much debt the person have, because it's an anchor and it will anchor the marriage because y'all will argue over debt as it accumulates. So that's very important. Talk about debt. Talk about commitment. Like, make sure, you know, that person is 100% in. Like, they're not like, oh, you know, dancing around, getting married and all of a sudden you got to force someone into marriage, or, you know, they make you wait real long and everything like that. They need to be 100% in, all in, none of that half the leg in, half the leg out, whatever the term is. Talk about kids, right? You have to talk about kids before, like how many you want, you know, adoption, all that good stuff. Career. Will talked about, you know, he wouldn't date someone who's making 40 if he's making 250, but wouldn't even look at her. So
in Brown, that way.
Yes. He would friend zone them, but, yes. But
you got a nice heart. Well, you don't make enough. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Brown got high
conversation.
Brown got high standards. So my advice is not around the same lines, but it is important to talk about, you know, career, education, you know, really, you know, what are their goals, right? Personal, professional, and your goals together. It's important to talk about religion, right? You need to talk about that, whether you're atheist, you know, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, I mean, all of that in between. And how are you going to raise your child if you do have that? It's also important just to talk about like finances in general, like saving, investing, budgeting. Brown talked about sex, you know, Cooley talked about sex as well. Like, that's important, right? Make sure you're compatible, you know, and yeah, I think that's everything. Boundaries, you talk about boundaries, make sure there's boundaries between like family, you know, friends, you know, making sure that that's all talked about. And yeah, I think that's about it.
And
you know, same values as well. That's important.
Yeah, definitely. What I want to say is a prenup does not mean a negative thing. Again, it's just insurance for your marriage. You don't have to go in and thinking like, oh man, I'm signing this prenup, so something's going to happen. No, you're doing it just in case something happens. And it's okay. I mean, but it just depends on your situation. So once you guys talk about all the stuff that Mookie said and Brown said, then you guys should talk about having a prenup. Is it worth it or is it not? If you don't think it's for you, don't sign it. But if you think it's okay, I think it's worth it. It just depends on your situation.
Yes, and I think to each his own. My viewpoint is, you know, if you're serious about marriage and you love this person you love for the rest of your life, you don't need no safety unless there's a huge difference in disparity in terms of the amount of assets. So I'm thinking, you know, 100 million to nothing or 50 million to nothing or beyond. But besides that, you know, where, you know, your assets are very similar, prenups, in my opinion, is not necessary. Brown said it's not necessary in any instance whatsoever. Prenups. It's not, in any instance, you know, I understand when, you know, it's a lot of wealth involved and someone has nothing, but Brown, which I guess I can agree with, you know, maybe you shouldn't marry them. Maybe you should just date them or, you know, do some type of common law type of thing to protect your assets. So I guess that makes sense. And then Cooley, in terms of, you know, I see your point in terms of insurance, but, you know, I think it's going in there thinking that it potentially could fail. So that's an argument that a lot of people use, is that, you know, you're planning for it to fail, right? Instead of planning for it to last, which is what these conversations do. But whatever works for each individual, you know, you do what's most important for you, what works for you and your significant others. But this is it for the podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening again. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, 30 to Life Pod. Make sure you find us on Facebook, 30 to Life Pod. Make sure you subscribe.
And make sure you review or give us 5 stars if you enjoyed what we just talked about. We wanted to just do something a little different. Like I said, the last 2 episodes were from our live episodes. Hope you enjoy that. But we're back. We miss you guys. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting us so much. And with that, anything final words, Cooley Brown?
Don't get a girl who has a $20,000 phone bill and emails. It's just not worth it.
I echo that. It's the 30 to Life podcast. It's your boy, Mookie.
And it's your favorite color in the world, brown.
And it's the guy who's going to be walking to the lawyer soon, Cooley.
You better watch him. 30 to Life, we out.